really was. You get the words of that song. It's worshiping God all my life. God's been faithful. Matthew 24, you're going to have to go through a lot of scriptures. I pray that I can deal with it. I'm going to try to go fast because I want to cover a lot of territory. And I looked up this word buzz that I've been using, and Webster's didn't have it, the old Webster's. And I looked up, I had a little handheld dictionary, and that didn't recognize it. So honestly, I prayed about it. I said, I know that I heard that in the right manner. And it's just like there's another dictionary over there, a new college dictionary. You ain't looked in that. And I looked in that dictionary, and it's had it in there. It said buzz means euphoria. So you know what that is. Get all excited. So that's what I'm going to kind of preach tonight on really living for the thrill of it, for the thrill of the things of the world, really, in a way. I don't believe the Christian life is morbid and dull. And I enjoy my salvation. I enjoy my church. I enjoy the saints of God. I enjoy them. I don't see how you can love them and not enjoy them. I don't see how you can love them and stay mad at them. Shall I preach on this? I better preach on this here. Well, if you're in Matthew 24, and I'm going to use one little verse here just to kick this thing off, kind of. And we'll go through a number of verses just trying to deal with this thought. But this came to me, and this really wasn't part of my message. But notice in verse 38, just a simple statement Jesus made, Matthew 24:38. You've read it. For as of the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And so, it's speaking of a time, this was making a comparison to the days of Noah, and it makes the comparison also to what the days are be like now. If you look good at that verse and look for what the Lord is really saying in it, what He's teaching us, that you've got to admit, it doesn't have one thing to do with having a spiritual life. It doesn't have anything to do with them being godly and rejoicing in the Lord and serving the Lord and trying to get sinners in. It shows you what they're doing. It shows that they're purely selfish and feeding the flesh is all they're doing. Eating, drinking, and marrying. They're all out for self. All out to get what they can out of life. And spend their life just on feeding self. Feeding the flesh. Eating and drinking and marrying all show that there is one purpose in their life. Just to live it up in this world and give themselves to this world. And so he said, that's the way it's going to be. And generally, I'm going to try to prove that, that is about where we're at today. I'm not saying you. You say, preacher, don't get upset. I didn't point my finger at you. I'm just trying to say that's what God said. That's what Jesus said. It's going to be like in the last days. And I believe if you read your Bible, study your Bible, you know your Bible, that's what's happening in our day. People are living for self. They're living just to please self, or they're actually living to feed the flesh. Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So God wants us. That's in Romans 13:14, if you want to look it up. It says, make no provision for them. Don't provide any kind of way that you're helping the flesh to feast on this world, enjoy this world, and get involved with this world. Now, you know there's supposed to be a real dividing line between what a Christian does and a sinner does. I mean, there's supposed to be a dividing line there. And that's kind of what I'm going to do. Just show you what a person of the world does. And does anybody here says, I haven't conformed to any part of the world whatsoever? We'd have to admit, all of us would have to admit that there's ways that we kind of just go along with some of the things of the world to entertain the flesh, to feed the flesh some excitement, feed it some fun, feed it some entertainment, try to keep the flesh happy. I really believe that what God's will is that we should be, if anything, buffeting the flesh. If we're going to let this flesh, that means your sensual desires, if you want to know what that word flesh means in actuality. That means your sensual desires. If we're going to live as the world does, just to please it, to excite it, to thrill it, to give it a good time, believe me, this world is designed just for that. Now, I'm talking about the society we live in. I'm not talking about what God created. I'm talking about what the prince of the power of the air has provided, and that all sinners walk in it and enjoy it. They love it. This is their best life, and it really is. This is the best they'll ever have this side of eternity. If they're not going to get saved, they're going to go on and live that life, and nobody's going to change their mind, and they're going to sow their wild oaks, we call it. Live for this life, live for today, live for self. They're going to just do their best to get everything out of every pleasure in this world. Every buzz they can get, euphoric, fun, thrill, excitement. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying, I need to put this in here. I'm not saying that a lot of these things, as of themselves, are sinful. But a lot of them, for us to get involved with them, we have to get entangled with the world to do them. Or if you want the other word, the Bible word, fellowship with the world in order to have the same things. The Bible said here they'll be eating and drinking and marrying in the last days. I was looking up a word and it really shocked me. I didn't write it down in my notes, but it was a word that dealt with foolishness. And lo and behold, out of the number of different definitions for that word, it had giving in marriage. And I said, now that's unusual. Maybe that is a thrill for the day. Change partners 6, 8, 10 times. You look at me funny. Do you know the average person nowadays has 5 partners before they get married? I can't tell the young girls enough or the young boys what that's going to do to your marriage. I can't explain it to you. You know, if my wife talked to me and bragged about an old boyfriend, it would hurt me. Now, maybe you're different. Maybe you can take that. It doesn't bother you to think that, you know, what they were before marriage, that's no. The Bible principle as she presents herself as a virgin and him too. But it's got so in our day that don't mean anything anymore. It's got nowadays that fornication isn't even thought to be a sin. Does anybody agree with me? Saying we're living in an immoral day, and it's destroying even the future of the children. I'm going to keep putting this in just for a minute. Given in marriage. Marriage don't mean nothing. Just giving it out over. Just flip-flopping through. I can't tell you what that'll really do to a marriage of two Christian people to talk about their old life before they got saved. If it was that bad, I would give this advice. I would just say, I can't even tell you, I hate it so bad. If I was going to give advice to young people, because you're not going to tell me if you really love a person, you really love a person, you're not going to enjoy hearing them being with another man or woman. Am I right? Given in marriage. Well, we're living in a day when everything is hinging upon just living it up, living it to access, you know, get everything you can squeeze out of this life, every thrill, every exciting thing. And so I really believe that we do conform a lot. The Bible says, be not conformed to the world. I really believe that we do conform in a number of ways. If we're going to have fun, if we're going to have excitement, if we're going to get a thrill, if we're going to feel good about it, we're going to go to a worldly amusement or entertainment of some type. Am I right? In 2 Peter, let me go through these quick. In 2 Peter 2, 10 through 18, it talks about people of the last days and speaks about just what kind of an ungodly character they are. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Now, I don't think you'll read anywhere in the Bible about the anything different than what it's saying here, that the world is going to become terribly immoral. And you've got to believe, you've got to acknowledge that we're in a very ungodly generation, just filthy in their morals. So bad that you can't even preach about it. It's so wicked nowadays, you just have to just turn your head, keep going, don't talk about it. But in the last days, they're going to give themselves up to the lust of the flesh, uncleanness. It's one of the things of the day in verse number 10 of 2 Peter 2. He says, despise government. Do you see that nowadays? Nobody wants authority. Nobody believes in authority. Nobody respects authority. And you have a generation that wants to do their own thing, and nobody tell them it's wrong. Nobody try to place a guilt press on me. You know, this is what I want to do. You live your life, I'll live my life. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might bring riling accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. We're speaking of these days now. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure. They that count it pleasure to riot in the day, in the daytime. You're seeing stuff going on, hearing of stuff. And they're not ashamed of what they do anymore. They're not ashamed to steal. They're not ashamed to hit an old man that's walking down the road and make a big joke out of knocking him down. Did you notice you don't see that no more in the news? Do you know it didn't stop happening? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that they all got good boys now and don't knock down old crippled people. They still do it. They still push people off into the tracks of an oncoming train. They still do that. Think nothing of it. It's a thrill to them. I'm saying you got a society, we're living in a society that has no conscience and no heart. I was sitting at the table back here today eating. And I said, would you please try to imagine for a moment performing an abortion, crushing a little baby's head? A little baby's head might be 8 months, 7 months. Kill him before he comes out of the womb. That way you aren't charged with, you're not supposed to be. Of course, our state, the governor of this state, not the one now, the one before, he agreed that they ought to be able to kill the baby. It was over a week after they're born. He agreed to that. Could you do that? Could you live with your conscience, take a little baby and crush his head? You see, I'm trying to paint the picture of the type of people that's in this world, how depraved, how wicked they are, how they can't have a conscience, most of them, for what they're doing. It don't bother them. You couldn't do that day after day after day after day after day, sometimes 6, 8, 10 abortions a day, and have natural affections. Are y'all listening to me? You couldn't do that. You got to be a brute beast. You got to be an animal in your mind to be able to live like half of them do in all our days. And can you imagine people thinking they're wonderful, they're good doctors, they're great doctors? Can you fathom that? I can't fathom that. I can't hardly read and think about it. Say, what kind of perverts are they? What kind of maniac idiots are they? What kind of demon-possessed people are they? Well, we don't have demons in our days. Oh, do we have them? We've got them. And shall receive reward of unrighteousness of they that's counted pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots are they in the blemishes, reporting, supporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Beguiled, unstable souls, a heart have they exercised with covetousness. practice cursed children. Preacher, you don't believe that, do you? I do believe the Bible. I do believe the Bible. You can lie to yourself and quiet your conscience if you want to. You can do that. You can. The Bible calls it, you're looking in the mirror, you know it's true, but you won't accept it, and so you deceive yourself. You lie to yourself and quiet your conscience. It ain't that way. It ain't that way. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the sons of Beor, who love the wages of unrighteousness. Love the wages of unrighteousness. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaketh, which man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that carried away with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure to... I want you to read 18 with me. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. They get them with... Oh, how they get them? With great swelling words. You'd be surprised the power of words on the minds of people. The power of words to change people. This is what I'm dealing with on Thursday nights. I'm going to go into it probably again this Thursday and try to just show the power of satanic reasoning. And it sounds so right. Let's turn quickly. Hebrews 11:25. Moses honors God and chooses. Hebrews 11 and verse number 25. Choosing rather. This is Moses choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a choice. He wouldn't go with that crowd. He determined that he would stay with God's people, even though he had all the world offered to him. He could have had anything, any kind of enjoyment, pleasure, anything the world at that time offered. He chose to stay with God's people. Look now at Titus. I'm going to go quick because I lost my time. Titus 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were deceived. This is past tense. This is before salvation. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, excitement, thrills, highs, whatever you want to call it, buzz. Living in malice and envy, hateful. You ever meet hateful people? You know all hateful people. Just hateful. Can't hardly talk to you nice. Just hateful. Mean. And hating one another. That is typical in this last day. Hating other people. You know, some people really enjoy making a fool out of another person. Oh, my soul. Getting a big laugh, big joke out of some satire and make a person look like they're stupid, foolish, dumb, whatever you want to call it, ignorant, and everybody laughs. You know that goes on. I'm not going to stick in there tonight, but that you know it goes on. Look at 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4:3, you know this verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap teachers, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want a teacher. They want a preacher that'll entertain them. They want a preacher that will amuse them. A preacher that will just let them have fun in church. Nothing really in the realm of true worship and spirit and truth. Just go to church and have a good time. I don't know. Unless you really write with God, a lot of times preaching ain't a whole lot of fun or listening to it. But people nowadays, this is the general trend of the last day, that people will want to have a preacher by listening that doesn't nail their sin. I got one man comes to me often. He used to come pretty often. He'd say to me, "Preacher, they're not preaching on sin." I said, "I know. And they're not. If they preach on sin, there's a subtle way you can preach real hard on sin, but not make the application or give an excuse for it because you can't help it. One or two things they'll do. If they're going to preach hard on sin, they'll give an excuse for it. They're going to tell you that you just can't help it, and it's just your nature to be a habitual sinner. People like it that way. That's what they want to hear. Tell me I can live on both sides. I can live on the broad road and the straight and narrow road at the same time. I can walk with those people, follow them, live as they live. And at the same time, know that I'm on the straight and narrow way going to heaven." Let's go faster. Oh, let me see. I'll go quick here. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1. One verse. Romans 1. Verse number 32. Romans 1, verse, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Preacher, you watch a sodomite on TV and you are being spoken to right here. You enjoy their entertaining with their filth, their wickedness. You listen to that stuff. You listen to porno on television. You listen to porno on videos. You listen to porno on the telephone. And you're doing what it says right here, that these people are going to be judged by God because they agreed with, they got entertainment, they enjoyed watching the sodomites. I didn't write this. I'm just trying to preach it. I'm trying to show you the sins and the pleasures of the last day. Let's go quick and I'll close. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Verse number 13. Now, I want you to read this. I want you to read this in your Bible. I want you to see this. I don't want you to just listen to me. I want you to see this in the Bible. Verse number 13. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." Are you reading that? "Doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Dad used to say it. I'm going slow. I'm quitting. Dad used to say, son, we don't fish. He said, we don't play ball. We don't work on Sunday. He said, Sunday is the Lord's day. So we don't play no ball, no hunting, no fishing, no games. It's a day you keep with honor and reverence. It's not your day to make a choice what you want to do. You don't own that day. He didn't give you that day. He didn't allow you to do what you want on that day. It's not your day. It's not your day. This is not your weekend. This is the Lord's day. And you'll stand accountable for it. For not treated as a sacred, holy day. It's never meant for you to have pleasure in it. Never meant for you to just do your own thing. It's meant for you to be sacred and holy through the day. The Lord's day. Let's go here. Let's do this. Surprising what God's people do when they know they should be honoring His day. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy? Is that what it says? He says, if you'll stop doing your own thing and you'll delight in the law of the Lord, you'll stop making up your own mind, I can treat the Lord's day any way I want to. I can decide what I want to do on the Lord's day. I can just tell God that I'm going to go here, go there, I'm going to do this. We need to have a little fun. I didn't get to that verse of Ecclesiastes. I wanted to deal with that. I know some use the excuse about enjoying things in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, look at me real careful, is speaking about under the sun. Ecclesiastes is Solomon speaking out about a person, and it isn't speaking about spiritual things. It's speaking how he can see things under the sun, what they look like to him. And he said of that fun that you can have, the pleasure you can have, in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, when he gets done, he says, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. I don't believe God would say that's what you ought to do, would he? And say it's vanity and wasted time and it's not profitable. It's not beneficial to you. Honor the Lord's day. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. I got just a couple more. Isaiah 47, verse 8. I think this is where I want to be. Behind the doors also the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, thou art enlarged thy bed, and made thee the covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where they sawest thou. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers afar off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to heart? Have I not held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I don't know how I got in the pleasure on this. And no matter the distance, I want to go Isaiah 47, and I was reading 57. I'm sorry. Here I go. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art dwelling, given to pleasure. Please read Isaiah 47 and verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Sold yourself to it. Got to have it. Can't live without it. I think I told this years ago. A guy went around to help people, and he asked him, he said, could I have your television set for a week? And he'd offered him $500. You let me have your television for a week, and I'll give it back to you. And they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't agree to it. Do you think very many people are addicted to television, to entertainment? Can't live without it? You know, I've heard them say to me, what are you going to do? What is there to do? What else is there to do? You see, when you raise them from here with a television to they're here, yes, they don't know what else to do. They don't know how to spend their time. They don't know how to deal with things in life. All they know is, I have to be entertained. It's a pleasure to be entertained. And they give themselves to it. They sell their soul to it. They'd sooner die and go to hell than get rid of it. Gotta have it. How do you know what's going on? I'm saying to you. But these two things shall come to thee at a moment, in a day. Now you give yourself to pleasure. And he says in verse 9, these two things shall come to thee in a moment, one day. Could you imagine this happen to you in one day? The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none. You heard me say this a lot of times, that the Bible tells us this. And this is what people really believe. Nobody would agree to it. Nobody would say, I believe that way. Well, we wouldn't do what we do if we really thought God was looking. We'd be like a man driving down the road with a policeman behind him. I looked in my mirror yesterday or the other day. What day it was? I think it was Friday. And I looked in my mirror. There's a trooper behind me. And I got the phone up here. I said, oh, no. Darlene, I said, I'm canceling the phone call. I throwed it down. He must have been hungry. He turned into a fast food joint. I said, oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad he was hungry. I didn't blame it on Darlene. That's me. I made a phone call. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth. Thou hast said, none seeth me. None seeth me. I don't believe God's watching me all the time. I believe most of the time he don't watch me. If you believed, if you really believed that God not only watches you, he knows what you're going to do. He knows. Would we live a little bit different if we really believed that? Would we live a little bit different? A little bit more cautious? He tapped us on the shoulder. Why are you living this way? Can I come and look at your house? Would you invite me into your house? What we talk about folks that are giving themselves the pleasure, verse 8. Let me just read on down to verse 11. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth thy wisdom and thy knowledge. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it made you so smart, it made you so wise, it made you so that you didn't even believe the Bible, and it made it so that you felt that you knew everything, it made it so you didn't care what other people said. You was wise, you understood, and you're smart, and certainly you know what's going on. And so he says, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Leave that tree alone. No. Are we living in an advanced day of knowledge? Well, the Bible says that, whether you believe it or not, knowledge would increase in the last days, inside and outside the church. I wouldn't want you to do it, but it about make you sick to do it. But you ought to listen to some of the preachers trying to impress people with their vocabulary and shooting way over their head. Almost 40 years ago, there was a woman who taught Sunday school, taught Christian school class. I told you she took her mother to the Presbyterian church. And they listened to the message. And on the way home, she looked over to her mother and she says, Mom, what did you think of the message? Well, she says, it sounded good. She says, Mom, he read it out of my second year psychology book, word for word. You either believe the Bible or you don't. You either be able to get discernment that you can discern this to be true. You look around and say, yeah, I see that's what's happening. The knowledgeable people of this world, the people in advanced knowledge of this world, the people that's got their own wisdom, don't need God. It's like that one governor says, believing in God and trying to serve God is like a man that needs a crutch. You don't need that. I don't need that, he said. Oh, but man, they're in the know. They know. They know. None seeth me, thy wisdom and thy knowledge it perverteth thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, thou hast said, this is what happens when folks get so knowledgeable. You need to read these last words and really meditate on them. Learn to apply them. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's over top of me. Nobody's going to control my life. I'll live as I want to live. I'll do as I want to do. I don't believe in God. You can't see him. How do you know there's a God? It's like what old boy said, because I talked to him this morning. It makes it real. It makes it more than words on paper. When you can honestly and truthfully say, I've talked with him. And you can say along with the psalmist, and he heard my prayers. You can say it in reality, in truth, in experience. This is those that give themselves the pleasure. Can I get one more in? I'm going to close this next one. Look at Proverbs 21, 17. Proverbs 21. I think I got it someplace here. In verse 17. He that loveth pleasure. Got to get a buzz all the time. Got to have some fun. Got to get out there, get some thrills. Go to every one of the... Preachers usually use this word. I'll guarantee some of you have never heard this word before. Preachers used to preach against carnal evils. Instead of calling them carnivals, they called them carnal evils. They used to preach against them. Used to. Everything of the pleasures of this world, every one of them, are built and designed by the God of this world. I'm not talking about churches. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the pleasure of this world. The devil was the architect. We walk according to the prince. Is that what the Bible says in Ephesians 2? We walk according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's ruling. He's having his day. He's trying to get Christians in there as much as he can because he knows he gets Christians a lot of those things. They're spiritually fornicating. To be a friend of the world is enmity with God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world? James said this, James 4:4. Don't you know that? Don't you know what you're doing to the Savior? Don't you know what you're doing? Don't you realize what you're saying to Him? That I have more fun in the world than I do with you. I enjoy going different places than praying and worshiping you and trying to reach the lost and trying to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and trying to serve you the best I can. Lord, you know the old cliche says, all work and no play. Now, you know that's true. Lord, you know that's true. You know we need play and fun. You know we don't have to be sober. We don't need to be sober. We don't need to be serious about hell. We don't need to be serious about our walk with God. We don't need to be serious about what the Bible says. We ought to have some fun. It said it'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll break you. I didn't know. Paul told me the song has been out for a while. That they got that song and they sing it now about sin will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. Pleasures of sin. How they'll just rob you. I'll tell you a little something you want to try to do. Try this. Take maybe a 2 year. Oh, you can take one. And look at the money you spent on pleasures. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you. And compare it. What you give for missionaries, for poor people, for widows and their afflictions. I dare you to compare it. I dare you. Dare you to compare it. Shall we stand? I sometimes wonder, Lord gives me some of these messages and I know they're not lightness to them. And I say to myself, I'm wondering if He's going to take me off the scene and He's making me preach some of these just before I go. I wonder that. Bothers me. Then I wonder, why haven't I been preaching more of it lately before this time? You get older, and I don't know what it is. I hate it. I just hate thinking that I've let up some. Allowed the devil to sneak in. Allowed the church, the services to be disrupted. Things going on in the church I never would allow before. I kind of rebuke myself and say, we got to get back on the right track and get back serving God. God help us to stand in this evil day. To stand. Help us. Anybody else, their heart just, God spoke to them, dealt with them? Anybody else? Can I ask you, do you have it all clear? Do you feel everything's all right between you and the Lord? Amen. God help us. God help us. Anybody else? All clear, preacher. No problem. I feel right with God the way I'm living. I don't feel I'm offending Him. I don't feel that I'm showing Him I don't love Him. I feel I'm doing what God wants me to do. Anybody else? Where He leads me, I will follow. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You, Holy Spirit, for help. Feeble old, foolish old man, and You let me preach. Thank You. Thank You. I pray to move in the lives of these children. It's some of them not listening, some even mocking. Some of them thinking, the old preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. I'm troubled. I'm concerned. You've given me that godly jealousy for them. And I'm going to fight for them if You'll help me. I'm going to fight for their soul. Stand for truth. And desire to see a breaking and a melting in our midst. Thank You for the help. Thank You for Your goodness. Keep us through these days, I pray. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pray one more stanza, one stanza of invitation. You need to come. Won't you come? Mind God.
with God. Washed in His cleansing blood, made holy, just and only. Is thy heart right with God? Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy, holy name. Amen. God's so good. God's so good. He's so gracious, so merciful, so kind, helpful. Bless His name. Bless His name. Amen. Amen. Jimmy, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for speaking to us tonight, being with us. Feel Your Spirit, that we might know You was with us. Thank You for these that You went up, Lord, and I thank You for each one, and I know, Lord, that there's probably others that was fighting back and not going. I pray to deal with them too. Great message, Lord, that You gave the preacher. A needed message, and we thank You for it. Be with us as we go our way. Keep us safe. Keep us in Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.